a dark night in a dark area where there's, you know, there's no lights around like we have in the city, but if you go out where there's no other lights around, that you can see about 1,000 stars with the naked eye. And if you look through a small telescope, you can see about 1 million stars. The Earth is part of the Milky Way, and that contains about 400,000 million stars. And beyond our home galaxy, there are estimated to be about 100 billion other galaxies. Now, that's a huge amount of stars, isn't it? I can't even begin to work out how many stars there are there. And God has created all of this, and we marvel, and we stand in awe before it. But in the face of such great things, we're also confronted with the microscopic, if you like, because there we gasp in wonder, because Psalm 139 tells us that God created each one of us in our mother's womb. He was involved in that whole intricate process of knitting us together in our mother's womb, in the process from conception to birth that those of you that came in a bit earlier were able to see this morning. God is at work. Fantastic, isn't it, how that growth and development takes place. And Psalm 139 tells us he remains present around us throughout our life. His desire is that we will know him and love him, but regardless of our response, that's his desire, that we will know him and love him. But whether or not we do, he continues to love us and to desire the best for each one of us. Psalm 139 presents us with some amazing aspects of God. His omnipotence, his omniscience, his omnipresence, and his omnipotence. I'll get them right in a minute. I could say them perfectly yesterday, but not today. They do seem really big words, don't they? But all that they mean, quite simply, is that God is all-knowing, he's all-present, or that he's present everywhere, and that he is all-powerful. In Psalm 139 there, we find some amazing aspects of God. And as we think about that first one, that God is all-knowing, if you look there in verses 1 to 6, as we just think about it, Lord, you searched me, you know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar, you discern my going out and my lying down. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. Just imagine, you know, I don't even know what I'm going to say sometimes, but God already knows what I'm going to say before it comes out. You search me. He knows everything about me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You know all my movements. You know my goings in and my lying down. That whole sense of everything that we do and everything that we are, God is aware of. And at first you might think, well, that's a bit intrusive. I know when we talk to children and we say about God knows everything, you know, and God is everywhere, and they say, even when I go to the bathroom, you know, and all those kind of questions. And it seems a little bit like that, doesn't it? Well, you know, he's so... But you have to balance that alongside that aspect of God's love for us. And we need to understand that the two go together. So his desire is that whatever our ability, whatever our condition, that we live life to the full, that we reach our full potential, and that we become the people that he created us to be. What kind of people did he create us to be? If you look in Romans 8 there, you find that we were created so that our lives might reflect the glory and beauty of God's Son. That is the purpose of our creation, of why God created us, so that we might reflect the glory and beauty of Jesus. It's as simple and as complicated as that. Often in church, we focus on what we're doing. We talk about our routines and our plans and our meetings and you know, and this whole sense of what are we doing. And all the time, God is interested in our being. I've said this many times before, I know. We feel as though we need to show that we're being good Christians because we've been out and we've witnessed, or we've shared, or we've prayed with somebody, or we've attended the prayer meeting, or we've been to the fruitfulness on the front line, or whatever. But what God is concerned about is the inside of our hearts, the motivation. Why have we been doing things? Are we seeking to prove ourselves to somebody? Are we seeking to prove ourselves to God? Are we trying to make ourselves good? Are we trying to earn brownie points? God knows everything about us. He knows our motivations better even than we know ourselves. The Bible tells us that the heart is very deceitful. We can kid ourselves. We can think that we have pure motives, but God knows what our motivation is. God looks at how we are being Christians, the thoughts that we have, as I say, the motivations, the reasons why we do things. He sees the conditions of our hearts. And those of you that have been reading Hebrews this month have probably come across in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." You know, we think, oh, well, nobody knows that I'm doing this. Nobody can see. But God can see. Oh, well, I'm thinking this. Nobody knows what I'm thinking. God knows. And when we begin to realize and understand that, then the way that we live our lives begins to change. Because if we truly love God, then we don't want to fall short of his standards. We don't want to disappoint him. We don't want to hurt or upset him. We want to live lives that are pure and holy in his sight. In the next few verses there, we find out about how God is present everywhere. That omnipresent aspect of it. We can't get away from him. He floods the whole of creation with himself. King David reveled in this truth. Wherever he was, then God was present. Do you understand what this means? That wherever we go, wherever we are, God is present around us. He is present there. We know that we might not always be aware of that. There might be times when we feel utterly and completely alone. There might be times when we feel absolutely awful. And that there is no sense of God whatsoever. But that doesn't mean that he isn't there. That's how we feel. And that's not necessarily the truth. And certainly isn't the truth. The truth is that God is present. And this is an absolute truth that people need to hear. That they are never, ever completely alone. Because God is always present. That doesn't mean that God, because he is present, will influence the decision or even influence the circumstances. We have been given free will. And therefore, we have a responsibility for how we act and what we do with our lives. But there is an encouragement in these words for those who are lonely and particularly for those who are vulnerable, that God is always near and ready to respond if we ask. And that's the key. In those times when you feel absolutely alone, abject, everybody's deserted you, there's nobody around, those are the times to reach out because God is there. And when we reach out, he's ready and waiting to grab hold of our hand and to lift us up out of the pit. But so often we try and dig ourselves out of the pit. So often we try and work things out our own way. But God is there. Seeking us, but he waits. It's up to us to respond to him. So we find that God is all-knowing, that he is present everywhere. And then the next part that we find is where it's all about God being all-powerful. And King David there, because he is the one that wrote this psalm, he writes about the miracle of birth. And it's in those verses there that we find I am in verse 14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Just turn to the person next to you and tell them that. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You didn't sound very convinced then. Let's try it again. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. It's fantastic truth, isn't it? Absolute wonderful truth there. And this Sunday in particular, we're celebrating the gift of all human life. Our particular focus, as I've said, is on people with learning difficulties. But many of you are aware that the second reading of the assisted dying bill comes before the Commons on the 11th of September. That's on Friday. And Christians particularly are asked to pray, contact MPs, because of the door that will be opened to assisted suicide. And how very soon what seems to be a loving release for a loved one from pain and agony. And this is how it's being marketed, that people are seeing that this is something, you know, they wouldn't let their animals suffer, so why should they let someone whom they love suffer? Surely this is a good idea. But this opens the door. And what's happened in other countries where they've allowed this to happen is that before long enforced euthanasia has come in. If you want more details of all of that, please see Kathy and Graham after the service or any one of the leaders. It's very important, and please remember it in your prayer time during this week. Every life is precious. And it's sad that even in our own country, human life is seen to be expendable. That, you know, we have to do what's best for us and it doesn't matter about other people. Human life is something to be trafficked and used for personal gain or even as a bargaining tool. I was just reading the other day of a young girl, I think she was age 7, who'd been killed by her father just out of revenge. Where are we as a society when life is as valueless as that, that it's a commodity that can be used to get back at somebody? We're in a very sad state as a nation. There are those who suggest that lives are less valuable than others, whether it's because of age or ability or health or even ethnicity. But within the church, the church is different. Within the church, there is and should be room for all. God doesn't require us to have a degree before he accepts us. He doesn't want us necessarily to be fighting fit or to be of a chosen race. His desire is for a heart that is turned to him, a pure heart that seeks to love Jesus and to trust him and to trust in his redeeming work on the cross at Calvary when he paid the price for our sin, to turn from the wrong things in our life and to live as he wants, just like Darren did. The way that he lived before is such a contrast to how he is now, having met Jesus and living for him. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, we find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, talks about the different parts of the body and every part of it being necessary. It said it's no good all the parts of the body being hands. You know, how would we walk? Or if all the parts were feet, how would we be able to eat? If all the parts were the mouth, can you imagine that? I mean, gosh, the noise would be unbelievable, wouldn't it? But each part is needed. And Paul's going to be looking at this particular section later in our Bible study this afternoon. And you're very welcome to come along and join us at that at 1 o'clock. Those of you who are using the Bible notes, the Daily Bread Bible notes, which I thought I had here, but I haven't, would have read on Friday, I think it was, about Ephesians 4. Here we are. I've got them here somewhere. It read this: the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And then the notes go on to say, every person has a job to do in God's family. There are no spectators. In God's family, we weep and laugh together. We bear each other's burdens. We pray for and encourage one another. We challenge and help each other to turn from sin, Show us, Father, our part in helping your family today. And as I read that, I thought, it challenged me. How true is that statement for us here at Roman Road, or maybe your home fellowship you're visiting with us today? Ability Sunday's aim is for people with learning difficulties to understand that they do have a part to play and that the gifts that they bring should be encouraged. And we acknowledged that earlier, giving thanks for people like Trevor, who does believe in Jesus, who's been a committed Christian for some time in his life now. But I ask this question: how do we encourage other members of WOW to know about Jesus? They were all invited. We invited them to come and to share in this service today. How can we better connect between our WOW group and the rest of the church family? How can we encourage people with learning difficulties to know about Jesus? Maybe you resonated with that first clip that we showed. How can Richard understand God was the question. But by the time the clip ended, what can Richard teach us about prayer? We've been given some signs by prospects and to put up to show what kind of church we are. I need a table, never mind. And I know I've got them here because I found them with Elizabeth this morning. So here we are. So we've got some of these little slips that they are to put up. And we've had them for some time. They say, learning disability friendly church. We've been given them to put them up. We were specifically invited by prospects. We didn't ask for them. They wrote to us and said, because they knew the work that we did, and would we be willing to advertise ourselves as this? And you will have read this, seen this logo in your church magazines. So it is going out there on that. But these haven't been put up in the church yet. And the reason is that I'm not sure that we are, in our services particularly, a learning disability-friendly church. And I would feel a bit more easier putting them up if we seem to be walking in that direction. But I'm not convinced about that either. And certainly for me, the question goes beyond people with learning difficulties to people with dementia and mental health issues, for all vulnerable people. And then to seeking and searching people, adults and children. How prepared are we to reach out to them, to love and to welcome them, to share the good news of Jesus and seek to encourage them to become disciples or followers of Jesus? It's a serious question that we need to ask ourselves during this process of deciding about a community or a family or children's worker, because there's no point in expecting one person to do all that we're called to do. It just won't work. We can invite someone to lead, but it may mean that we have to change the way that we do things. We may have to let things go, or events might have to change. The ways that we work that are precious to us, we might have to let them go. How ready are we for that? We've done it once. We changed when we moved from out there into here. And we've evolved during that time. It is possible. With God's help, it is possible. But it also needs a willingness. People 10 years ago were willing. How willing are we as a people today? At the beginning, as I said, we gave that thanks for those 10 years of this part. It's been good to reflect on what we've been able to do because of the extra room available. How God has blessed us tremendously, we thought about. But this morning, the question is, how is God wanting to work and move in the next 10 years because of the people that he has placed here? The last 10 years we've seen how he's wanted to move because of the building. But the building is more, the church is more than the building. The church is the people. So how is God wanting to move in the next 10 years with the people that he has brought here? That's you and me. What is it that God is wanting to do? That's my challenge. You have been fearfully and wonderfully made, not for yourself, but for God's glory. His intention is that you should know him, that you should love him, and that you should reach your full potential in him, that you may reflect his glory. This is God's desire for you, and it is possible. And when we truly do that, Not only will this church here at Roman Road be transformed, but so will the community around us, beyond all recognition. It's not down to the elder, to the leaders, to the select few. It's down to each one of us, allowing Jesus to have full reign in our lives. The final part of the psalm that Douglas read so well was about God's judgment. And he brought that part out about hatred that David had for them. And we think, oh, well, I thought we were supposed to love our enemies. And maybe you thought that. But what it's saying here is that when we truly love God, we will hate what God hates. Because if we don't, then we will slip into condoning sin, just turning a blind eye to it. Everybody does it these days. What can you do? Have you found yourself thinking that or saying that? You might not be going along the way of it, but what are you actively doing? What are we actively doing not to go along the way of it? And so David is saying to God, he's handing the judgment back to God, but he's saying, I too want to stand against what is against your word. Those of you that are reading the Bible book a month, Isaiah, Amos, they speak so clearly about God's despair with the injustices that are going on in the society at the time. A prophetic voice into their time. I believe there are prophetic voices today, but people are only just beginning to become aware of them in some areas. But we need to be listening to what the Spirit is saying to the churches today. And we need to be open to what God is saying to us and calling us to do. We have a duty, we have a response as Christians to stand for what is right, to seek to stand against injustice, to stand up for those who have no one, who are vulnerable, who have no one to speak for them. The Bible is very clear about how they spoke against the injustices and the evils of their society in those days. To conclude, therefore, I just want to end with a few words that there was a sermon that was given with this, which had been produced by Jonathan Edwards. And he's the Prospects Ambassador, but some of you might know him because he was the former General Secretary of the Baptist Union of Great Britain. And at the end of the sermon that he produced, he said this: in the name of the great God of creation, we are called to take action. Let's start where we are and make sure that we're always welcoming to people with learning difficulties and eagerly involved in helping them to live full lives. Like them, we have been fearfully and wonderfully made in order to live in partnership with God and to bring his love and life to our needy society. I'm going to close. We're going to watch another little clip. And this is, again, produced by some people with learning difficulties, but it's Psalm